Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
Happy Friday. I hope that you have had the most amazing week. If this is your first time tuning in to Conversations with Toy, welcome. I hope that this space that you'll find is inviting. I hope that you find this space to make you laugh, to make you think. We talk about self-care and mental health in the most rawest of forms, which means there may be times when something that I say, it's just about my personal experience. So it may not be medically backed, but it's something that I experience. And I'm always telling people all the time when you're listening in, please understand, I am not a trained therapist or anyone in the medical field. What I can do is share my experience. And my hope by sharing my experience is that you will feel ignited to one, tap into your own healing journey. One, you will feel encouraged that you, even if you can't ever say it aloud, like sometimes I'll talk about my mental health in ways that other people can't, but they can hear themselves through what I'm saying. That is the goal. So thank you for joining in. I don't think that anything just simply happens. If you stumbled upon this episode, that means this episode or this podcast is for you. Do me a favor, follow along the journey. Make sure that you subscribe so that when new episodes pop up, you will make sure you'll be the first to know. In addition, if you can listen all the way through, as well as share with someone else, share the light and joy and love of knowing that you don't have to be alone. Your mental health and illness does not have to exclude you from living the life that you dreamed about. It may take you some routes to go around. It may make you have to do some things extra as I have done, but it doesn't mean that your life has to end just because you've been diagnosed with anxiety, just because you've been diagnosed with depression, just because you've been diagnosed with bipolar, whatever you have on your plate. Please understand that mental health doesn't exclude you, doesn't stop your life. It doesn't do all those things. It makes you move differently, but it doesn't stop the flow. So welcome. Thank you. I appreciate every last one of you for tuning in, for listening, and all the love. Now that we've gotten all the welcomes away, I just want to say it's been an interesting week. I have been sick more this week than any other time. I'm dealing with a migraine. For those who deal with migraines, you already know, you know. I have been not drinking as much caffeine for the past 2 months. I have been making sure that if I choose to have a cup, it's because I choose to have one, not because my body feels like if I don't have it, I cannot function. If I don't have it, I can't act right. I can't treat people right. I can't talk to people right in the morning until I have my morning coffee. It was something that was a personal decision for myself. I wanted to make sure that I was allowing myself to come and not have like caffeine headaches, which I was having for a while. And I've discovered that these caffeine headaches that I was having are just about eliminated. Now, these new migraines that I've had is because I believe either a switch in the medication or me not taking the medication that I'm supposed to be taking at the same exact time. So I've been very vigilant on making sure that I stay on my medication at this time I'm supposed to take it so that it can alleviate some of the migraines that I experienced this week. So that is just a part of making sure that one, I just do a better job of taking care of myself, a better job of recognizing when I need rest, a better job when recognizing that I need to slow down. So those are just things that I'm encouraging you to do as well. Whether you take medication or not, you should be trying to do better in eating better and moving a little bit more and walking a little bit more. This week was National Walk Day. You don't have to wait for National Walk Day to take a walk. You should try to get out at least 10 minutes every day. Now, it's been hard because here in Philadelphia, it has been raining these last few days. And this is why I encourage when you can't get out and it's raining. I know we get slow full, we get tired more on rainy days, but pop in something on YouTube. You could do a workout in YouTube. For those who have exercise bikes like I do, I don't have a Peloton, but Peloton, if you want to, you know, sponsor, I'll blast you up on all my socials if you want to sponsor. But what I'm telling you is to increase your movement just a little. I will say, because when you're dealing with a migraine, I haven't been able to move because migraines don't allow your body to move in that fashion. But if you have something that's not totally innovating or stopping you from moving, I need you to go ahead and get a little bit of movement into your world. As we are into the spring, I just feel so much lighter. My mind feels so much lighter. I know that if people say, well, it's just mental because, you know, we're coming into a new season. But every season that we go into comes with its own set of emotions. Every season that we go into has its own several levels of things that we must go through, you know, highs and the lows. So I don't think that it's mental. I think that it's natural. I think it's normal. And I hate when people try to minimize things that are happening as if, oh, it's just so-and-so. But no, so-and-so is important to me. It makes me feel a certain way. And I feel like we should be able to say that out loud. We do have a guest on today's episode. We will be talking to Joy Carter. Joy Carter is actually going to be here in Philadelphia on April the 12th at City Winery. And we will get into that as we get into the conversation with her. But she is just an amazing woman altogether. And we're going to talk about all the things that she has done. I'm so grateful to have her on today's podcast. But before we talk to Joy, I do want to talk about something that I went through just this week. I had therapy. I have therapy about once a week or so. And it's been an interesting ride. And I'll say this because I struggled after my therapy session this week. So my therapy session was on Tuesday. And we just talked about the weekend and just different things. And as we begin to talk about one topic in particular, which I'm not comfortable sharing just yet, it just started to make me have all these different feelings that I haven't felt in a while. So I noticed that that was a trigger. And if you don't know what a trigger is something that ignites, you know, your self-care, your mental health, your wellness, something that ignites in you that makes you feel out of sort. It can trigger you to feel shame. It can trigger you to be angry, upset, a gamut of emotions. For me, it didn't necessarily make me feel upset. It made me feel sad. It didn't make me feel angry. It just made me feel sad. And it made me put into perspective some things that I have been thinking about for years now. In this particular conversation with my therapist, the particular person that we were talking about, it made me sit back and ask myself, how much grace have I ever given to this particular person? Now, I get it. Sometimes we don't feel that certain people need grace. But listen, if you feel that way, let me just say, there are going to be 20 million people that are going to think that about you. And the reason why I say that, it may not necessarily be 20 million, but you want grace and you have to also extend it. And in my mind, I felt like I'm extending grace. I feel like I've tried to put the olive branch and move, even though I know I would never get an apology back from this particular individual. I felt like I've done all those things. And I felt like even though the relationship is shaky at times, although the relationship is strained at times, I don't even know if the other person knows how strained the relationship is, because usually the battle is within myself. And the reason why the battle is within myself is because I feel like a lot of times it could just be me. It's my interpretation of the situation that can either make or break the situation. And I don't always do well with things. I don't always do well with it. However, I was shocked that in the midst of the conversation, I began to cry, and not one of those ugly cries, just a little cry that I felt I didn't even know I needed. And in the midst of this crying, I'm like, Lord, like I really in my whole heart really thought that I was at a place, I was in a position that I was giving grace in the situation. But then I discovered that maybe I hadn't. I had never looked at the situation from the other side. I've only looked at the situation from my side. What I lacked, what I felt like I didn't receive, what I thought I needed more of. And all those things that I felt like I didn't receive, those things that I felt like I needed more of are valid, like 1000% are valid. But I never looked at it from the perspective of the other person, like what that other person was not able to do or wasn't capable of doing. Now, let's not say that that negates anything now. Like there are changes and choices that we all have to make. There's a lot of things that I probably wasn't able to do at a certain time. There's a lot of places that I wasn't able to be in my mindset at a certain time. That does not allow me to be able to mistreat people. That does not allow me to be mean-spirited to people. That doesn't allow me to, just because I'm in pain, I can give other people pain. You know, when people say hurt people, 1000% is true. However, although in its trueness, it doesn't give the person who's doing the hurting to other people, it doesn't give you like a way out. Like it's not a cop out. It's not an excuse that can be used to cover all of the things. And I know that, like, you know, a lot of people do not necessarily don't read the Bible. They're not necessarily Christian. I understand that. But there is a part of the Bible where it talks about love covering the multitude of sins. And I've heard that scripture 1,001 times. Now, my therapist did not bring this up. This is what came to me after my conversation with my therapist. And sometimes we say that scripture so many times, how much love covers a multitude of sin. But I feel like a lot of times we don't really put it into practice. And I know I can say I haven't. I know I haven't, because when that therapist said that, I wanted to just, it was online, you know, like a Zoom, but it was like through another platform, just like Zoom. And I wanted to literally go through that thing. And I wanted to struggle or choke my therapist. Like, that's crazy, right? But my spirit was like a little angry, because I was like, wait a minute. But when I regrouped my thought process really fast, I was just like, you know what? I couldn't lie. My therapist was 1,000% right. 1,000% correct. And so my new journey this week, and I'm sure it's going to take me a while to process, is what does forgiveness truly look like with this person? How would it really look? What would I be able to do with that once I, you know, put that into practice? Like, I thought all these times, all these years, that I had already been walking in forgiveness. And maybe I have been, but then there's parts of, like, there are pieces of me that aren't forgiving. Like, there are parts of my story that I feel are unforgiven. I haven't forgiven people who have played some parts in the story that I lived. And I think mostly for me is because 9 times out of 10, when I do speak to the people who have done these things, or I've been wronged by certain things, or things have not been done, it's because I'm usually dismissed. And I know that for a lot of people, that experience being dismissed and how you feel like people don't feel like your situation is valid. I know that when you feel dismissed, it's like a gut check, because you know you felt everything that you felt. You know what you saw. You know what happened. You know what was said. And then that person just says, oh, well, no, that's not it. And I'm like, what? And so trying to navigate, one, moving in spite of feeling like you are never going to hear this, I'm sorry, right? And that's really why forgiveness becomes for you, like, because you most likely won't hear somebody apologize for what they've done. How many people honestly take accountability for the things that they do? Like, that's a huge word that people just don't live. They will take accountability for a lot of things, but they will not take accountability for the pain that they've caused other people. And I feel like so many people are holding on to things that people said and have done to them because they're still waiting for this, I'm sorry. And I'm like, Lord, teach me, help me to get to the place where I'm sorry doesn't come, but I can still live. Where I'm sorry doesn't come, but I can still live well. Not just simply survive. I don't want to survive. I want to thrive, right? I want to thrive. One of the things that my therapist did bring up that I'm more than willing to share is about how, as a parent myself, I realized a lot of times how much I went into protective mode with my daughter, which is my oldest, because obviously that's my first child, from the beginning. When I found out I was pregnant, and everybody found out, I told everybody, or it came out, whatever the case may be. One of the first things that I did was go to parenting classes. I didn't tell anybody that I was in parenting classes. I was in parenting classes for quite some time. And at first it was essential. Like, it just came to me. Like, I was like, I should go to parenting classes, like, right off the bat. And I had no idea, like, no idea why I would think I needed to go to parenting classes. I had been a babysitter almost my whole teenager life. And most of my 20s, I've babysat somebody's child. I can take care of a baby extremely well. I can be very attentive to their needs. Very loving, very caring, very, you know, all these things that I feel like moms should have those skill sets. But for me, I wanted to know, how was I going to navigate those different difficult times? You know, everybody talks about how babies are whatever, but when babies are growing and they're learning how to do certain things, I can remember as a kid, like, if you go to reach for something, parents popped your hand and things like that. Like, how do I navigate that when kids are learning something? How do I guide my daughter? How's I going to guide my daughter through certain levels of learning and not be able to bring in any anger, resentment from my own childhood? Because I'm just going to say it. My parents, I've said this before, it's no secret. Most Black parents in Black communities would spank their kids. And it was something that I just didn't necessarily want to go to. I didn't want it to be my go-to. I didn't want it to be something that I would just automatically do. But I felt like if I didn't go to parenting classes, that would be something that I did. And because of my level of, like, not really liking that whole situation, I never liked it. I never understood how putting welts on a kid's body, I never understood how beating a child would make them all of a sudden act right. Because there's a bunch of beaten folks, kids who've gotten their behinds beat for sure, kids who were corrected even as children, who are sitting in the prison systems right now, who have had all kinds of different things. So I just never understood that. And so, again, I'm not knocking anybody for how how you do things. I will say that if you are abusing a child, I don't care if you think that that's the way the Bible told you. I don't care if that's the way you were always raised. If you are abusing a child, if you leave a mark on a child, you are abusing them. And for me, I think that's completely wrong, and we don't have to agree, but that's just where I stand. And I went into parenting class, and my therapist said, you don't give yourself enough credit. You don't give yourself enough credit for trying to do something different. You don't give yourself enough credit for trying to make sure that you make the wrong paths in your life right. This is why I don't bear the excuse that people say that, well, this was always done to me, and so this is what I did. I feel like it's a choice. We make choices every single day. In the midst of talking to my therapist about that, one of the things that I talked about was literally right before therapy, my oldest came in. I love that girl. I love all my kids. My oldest came in, and she does this thing where she kind of like opens her hand up like she's parting the Red Sea, and then she jumps on me. It's like our thing. She does the little hand movement. I move my arm so that I can receive her. She jumps on me. We cuddle for a little bit, and she's almost about to be 15 years old. So yeah. I love that for us, because I don't want her to think that she's too big to give me hugs. She's never too big to get my love. She's never too big for that. And I'm grateful that as a teenager, she even still wants to do that. Most teenagers, child, they don't even want to be bothered by their parents. So I'm grateful that I feel like I'm doing something halfway decent. She still wants to be bothered. And so this time when she wanted to do the little parting of the Red Sea and jump on me thing, because that's her thing, we've been doing it for years, I couldn't do it because I've been dealing with these migraines. And before she went to do it, she went to do her art. I said, hey, you know, I just want to let you know that I'm not rejecting you in any way. I want you to know that I'm not making you, I don't want you to feel as if I don't want you to be on me. I just need you to understand that right now, physically, I'm dealing with this migraine. And I know that you would see a mom and you think that moms are supposed to be strong and they're supposed to just always do all these things. But as a mom who's also a human being, as a person, I also have to protect myself and know that when I need a break from something, or I can't do something in the way that you're used to me doing, I just want to explain to you why. I never grew up with my parents explaining nothing. They said, go do something because they told you to do it. And so as I was explaining the situation, this particular situation to my therapist, as she gave me that answer of saying, you know, you didn't realize and don't give yourself enough credit, it really did something for me, because I didn't even know, I didn't even think about it. It was essential to make sure that I went out of my way to make sure that my kids knew, like, I'm not rejecting you. I want you to know that I love you and I want to hug you and I want to do all those things. So my compromise with my oldest was like, hey, instead of you parting your arms like the Red Sea, and instead of you jumping on me, how about I just open my arms and you just lay with me? And she laid with me. And then she shared with me how she was upset because she was scared, because she saw, like, my migraines were so bad that I had almost fell down the steps, but I ended up jumping. Listen, let me thank God for me being a long jumper back in the day, because I was able to jump myself into position so that I wouldn't fall, and I landed at the very bottom of the steps. Thank you, Lord. So thank God for those skills from back in the day. But then I also sort of kind of had a little mini blackout while I was driving. The car began to swerve. So she had seen both of these things happen in this one day, and she just started crying. She was very upset. And I said, listen, I understand that that was scary. I was scared myself, but I let her know. I said, listen, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I'm okay. And yes, moms have days when they're not feeling well. Moms have days when they don't feel their best. Moms have days when they struggle a little bit, and that's just a real reality. But I want you to know that regardless of all those things, one, I'm going to get the help that I need. I'm going to find out the answers. And two, I want you to not worry about that. I want you to focus on you. And I thank you for having that care for me. And I want you to know that I'm going to give you the biggest hug and kiss, because I want you to know that I'm okay. Just that simple conversation. And I know it seems crazy, but just that reassurance that I want my kids to know that they can be reassured by me, right? I want them to feel safe in my presence. I want them to be safe with me. I want them to feel safe. And I also want to be honest with them. I feel like sometimes as parents, because we're taught not to tell people our business, because we're taught to be so strong and stoic, that sometimes we forget that we should show our kids that we're human. There should never be a time where our kids feel like we're statues. Like, they should never feel that. And so I'm grateful that I had that moment with my oldest. I ended up having that same moment with my youngest, because the very next day she wanted to play Barbies. And so I said, hey, I can't do that. Let's compromise. How about you bring the Barbie to me and we can play from here, because I'm still dealing with this migraine. And I'm grateful that they're able to express, like, you know, at first I had asked her, what did she hear? What did she hear me saying? You know what she heard me say? She heard me say that I didn't want to play with her. And I had to remind her, that's not what I said. I said, I'm unable to play with you the way that you want me to. She wanted me to go downstairs to the basement where all their toys were, sit on the floor and play, which is something that I do with them. But I said to her, that's not what I said. I'm telling you that I want you to bring the toy to me and we play from here because I'm not feeling well, but I'm willing to play with you. And I'm grateful that I asked her, what did you hear? Sometimes I feel like when we have disagreements and there's miscommunication, it's because one person hears something one way and the other person said it one other way. And so I've been very cognizant to say to my kids, what did you actually hear me say? And I go out of my way to make sure that they hear what's actually real because kids can harbor resentment because I asked my mom to play when she never wanted to play with me. She was too busy. She was on her phone. She was doing all these things. I don't want my kids to feel that. And I know that that may say corny to some people, or you just got so much time on your hand, or you're just trying to be this like punk parent, or whatever y'all want to say. But at the end of the day, those are my babies. And I don't want them having to sit in a therapist's office over something that I said. I don't want them to have to sit in therapy over something that I did. I want to make sure that I know I'm not going to do it right. Like there's going to be mistakes made, but I want communication always. And because I've been learning how to, I learned before I even had my kids, again, in parenting class when I had my oldest, was to learn to say, I'm sorry, mommy made a mistake. Mommy messed up. Mommy didn't get it right. I made a mistake in how I approached a situation, or I made a mistake in how I said it, even though my words may have been right, but the way I said it was not okay. You have a right to apologize. You should be apologizing to your children in sincerity, and the only apology is change behavior. So you have to say the words and you change the way you do things. So I am very cognizant of that. And I know this was a parenting lesson. I know this was some, for some people, but there could be somebody who's listening to this who never heard this from their parent and is waiting to hear that from their parent. And you probably will never hear that from a parent. But I am telling you, for the little girls and little boys inside of grown people who have never heard a parent truly apologize and change your ways, there is hope. You can do that with your own kids if you even if you never heard it from your own. So that was my week this week, dealing with grace, learning how to extend grace to other people in my life who, again, if we wanted to go by deserving it, none of us deserve it. I don't deserve it. I've done so many things I didn't that I don't deserve grace. You've probably done things that you probably don't deserve it. But see, I'm grateful that grace isn't about earning it. Grace is something that's given. It's just there, and it's there in plenty for all of us. And if we believe that, we have to also give that. And it's hard. Like, can we just say how hard it is to give grace to somebody who you can look at and say, but you were supposed to know better. You were supposed to do certain things. You were supposed to have the wit that that I have now. You were supposed to have that then. But everybody arrives at different things so much differently. And so I'm so grateful that my therapist not only chewed me out a little bit about making sure that I get it right when it comes to extending grace to other people, but she also let me know and empowered me to let me know that I instinctively have it in my spirit to protect. I have it instinctively to do the right thing by my kids and to get the skills. There have been times when I've gone to therapy, and the only thing I've ever come to therapy about at that this at not this time, but that particular time was just straight up parenting. I had this one therapist, she was the bomb, and I just literally talked to her. It was just strictly about parenting. Sometimes when you've been parented different and you do something different with your children, I can instinctively hear my parents when I'm doing something different. I can hear the things that they may have said or done, and I'm always fighting against, is that the right way, or what's right for me, right? And let me just say this, because I'm sure my parents probably, I'm assuming, listen to the podcast. Even if I felt like what they'd done or how they parented me was allegedly wrong, it was what they knew, right? It was what they knew. It's what they leaned on. And me doing things differently, although my parents would say, you're probably raising your kids wrong. That's fine. That's a fair assessment. Because of course, if it's different, then you would be considered wrong. Differences doesn't have to be wrong, but what I do know, what I do what's best for me. I'm not looking to parent like my parents as a sign of rebellion. I'm looking to parent different for my kids because I realize what my kids need. Now, maybe your differences in how you start may be coming from a place of rebellion. I can admit that that was my first start. When you're a kid, you always say, I'll never let my kids do this. I'll never have this happen. But to truly put into practice, sometimes it does start from a place of rebellion. And then you got to take it from a place of rebellion to a place of, what do my children need? What is the type of parent or parent that my kids need? And collectively, I know God blessed my kids with the parents that they needed for their journey. And because I know that they were blessed, that they were given to me for their journey, I always ask God to give me the words that I say to my kids, that I don't break something that's living in them and kill something in their spirit for their future. I don't want to kill their spirit for the future to marriage. I don't want to kill something in their spirit for their future for just existing with other people, learning how to interact with people that they don't always agree with. I want to make sure that whatever I say, whatever I do is going to be a blessing for their future. And so I'm always cognizant of that. And I'm just asking, increasing y'all to think about the same thing. And you don't even have to have kids to do that. When you go to talk to other people and you come off with just straight up ignorance and rude, you may kill something in somebody's spirit for their future, because they will never forget what you said. They may forget the words, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And no matter if you have kids or not, we all are required to make sure that our words are sweet and never bitter. Doesn't mean, listen, there ain't going to be times. There are going to be times when you have to get people straight. You got to get people right. You got to clear a person, right? But you should still do it in a way that, one, it deals with the situation. And sometimes their feelings may get hurt. That's something that you can't help. But you got to be sure that you're just not being malicious towards people just because you have the power to do it. Just because I'm the parent. I'm the adult. I'm your boss. I'm your this. I want us to think about our words and choose our words extremely wisely for the people that we have, so we don't kill something in their future. Something in their future that is depending upon something that we'll say, something that we give. Because our kids will remember their childhood. And let me just say this. One thing I've learned from my therapist is that your childhood affects all the things that happen in your life. If you are looking to have children in the future and you have never gone to therapy for the things that may have happened in your childhood, I'm encouraging you to do so. Because once you become the leader of your own households, become the leader in guiding and softening your children, your kids don't have to be so rough. You don't got to make them so strong that you forget that they're children. They need to be loved on. They need to be soft. They need to have a soft place to land. And you have to be that. And if you're not willing to be a soft place for a child to land, if you're not willing to be that even when they make 1,001 mistakes and show unconditional, true unconditional love, don't you dare have no child. I'd rather for you to get a puppy. I'd rather for you to straight up get a puppy before you mess up over a baby, because you will be responsible for that. And I don't want to be responsible for messing up my kids for their future. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and shift gears from all this love and all this wonderfulness that my therapist has given to me that I know I wanted to give to y'all. Let me just say this. I don't always bring every therapy session to you guys. I don't always give you that, but I know there are times where I feel a spirit is pushing me to say that, because I know there's somebody listening that needs that. And again, it could be for a child that's inside of your grown body that never will hear those words. I'm telling you, telling my kids, I'm sorry, it didn't make me feel any type of way. It didn't take anything from me. It didn't make me a weak parent. I'm still their mother. They still have respect for me. And I think at the end of the day, I'm hoping they'll have more respect for the fact that they know that I can say, I don't know what I'm doing all the time, but hey, at the end of the day, I'm gonna find a way to make it right. Let's get into the conversation with Joy Carter. Now, we are being joined by Joy Carter. She is a musician. Do you understand me? So if you love music, I want you to tune in. But you might recognize Joy from Ready to Love. You might also recognize Joy from Love and Marriage DC. She's on Love and Marriage DC right now. She's been on Ready to Love, where she met her amazing husband. You might recognize her from all those things. Listen, she is coming to the City Winery on April the 12th, which is next Friday. And I want you to get your tickets. Now, you know how this works. I know you're listening to this, you know, episode while you're doing 1,001 things. You might be reading, you may be doing some movement. I don't know, but you already know. I want you to go to the show links and make sure that you click on it so that you can get your ticket. Sell this show out. Support, support, support. She already let me know this is not one of those shows where you can just sit down and be a spectacle. This is a participatory type of concert and type of music. You're going to hear her come with all different music sounds, which I absolutely love. And if you love real music, when you truly love music, trust and believe, when you love music, it will make you be excited. It'll give you all the things. And so that's what I want for you. I want you to listen to Joy. I want you to follow her on Instagram. All the links will be there for you to follow her on links and on Instagram, all the things. And she may be bringing a few guests, but you have to listen into the episode to discover who are these guests that might be coming with her. Because if you love these two reality shows, it might be a chance to meet a few people that you really have been wanting to meet. You've been watching them. You've been following them on their journey. You've been following along, tweeting about them. So now you might be able to meet them. So without any further ado, Joy, Thank you for being in part of this conversation. We talk about all things music. We talk about the reality shows. We talk about self-care and mental health. And you know I always bring that because it's important for you to see different people bring their different perspective. And listen, every time you hear a different perspective, it isn't so that you can judge like, oh, I'm not doing that, so I'm wrong. No. It's supposed to inspire. I wanted to inspire you to ignite ways for you to take care of yourself in different ways. And I also want you to get a hold of the music. So without any further ado, Joy Carter. All right, conversations with family. We have an immediate joy. That's the pun was intended. We have Joy Carter today, and she is coming to City Winery on April the 12th. Now, the reason why I'm saying that and I'm stressing that is that Philadelphia, y'all listen in. You are such an amazing audience. And you know, if you've ever been to a show at City Winery, you know for sure it is one of the absolute most intimate spaces to really get to know an artist, to hear their sounds. You hear their background, you hear their music. You literally get to feel like you have the audience, the singer in your house. Just literally, that's how intimate it is. And I have enjoyed concerts at City Winery. Also, they have amazing food and great wine. That's why they're called City Winery. So I want you to get your tickets for the show on April 12th. But we have Joy Carter here so that we can talk about all of the things that have going on, as we allude to the music, the show, all and everything. So Joy, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. We are so glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy Monday.
Yes, happy Monday. So listen, we know that our first look at you was from Ready to Love. Mm-hmm. And now that was a very interesting experience. And I just want to know, obviously, we've seen the show Unravel. We know that you have met your amazing husband on that show. How was it for you? Like, what was your decision to go on the show from the very beginning?
Oh, the decision. Well, I've been a fan of the show since the show started. So I had been, you know, watching it from the beginning. And I just knew that when and if ever it made it close to Baltimore, right. I'm gonna do this show. Like, I know I'm gonna do this show. One of my best friends, we talk about it all the time. That's one of the shows we have in common. And it just so happened, you know, saw one of the advertisements about, you know, them casting for DC, and I'm like, oh heck yeah, I'm doing this. I sent my stuff immediately. You know, it's like an application process. You're kind of like sharing a lot of things. Right. And once I hit submit, I think I got a phone call maybe like 5 minutes after I sent.
Really? I'm actually shocked.
Yeah. Why are you shocked? I'm something submittable.
No. See, you had to take it there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how quick they moved. You know how it is in the industry. A lot of times people don't move as quickly. That's the part that I'm shocked about. Not you.
Oh, no. I'm being funny. What it is that, you know, DC, you have a lot of people that have like the type of job where people don't really want to share their personal life. They really don't want to show that they're on television. So, you know, people have security clearances, all that type of stuff. So they weren't really getting as many people, or not saying quality people, but people who are really willing to do the show and, you know, show themselves.
Right. Because you have to put pretty much all of you out. Like, there's somebody that's watching to be like, I know her back when.
Yes.
You can't be on there lying, talking about, well, I do this and do that, when the story can be verified. A lot of people don't want to have their information verified. That's just how the
world. Some people just do not want to have their information out there, period. you know, not saying a lot of people are out here managing multiple relationships, but, you know, a lot of people don't really want to put themselves on Front Street. And once that happened, you know, I took that route. Clifton didn't. Clifton, he was recruited.
Oh, Lord. Okay. he got the better end of it at the end. He's good for it. Like, he's gone through it, and I'm sure he now sees it as a good process now.
Yeah. I mean, I truly enjoyed the process. The entire experience was something that, I mean, was great up until the reunion. You know, biggest thing, not knowing if you know and how much of a fan of a show that you are, but I mean, the Ready to Love is very scripted, like not scripted, it's edited, excuse me.
Right.
Like so edited that, I'm quite sure if you're a viewer, you're kind of confused about certain things and why by the time it gets to the reunion, why people are like really, really upset and all that kind of stuff. It's because Ready to Love already has kind of like a predetermined storyline.
Right.
And me
They want
watching it, not what'd you
you to
say?
get into it. Like whatever they've crafted for you, they're going to make that story fit it, however they have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I didn't, in every season, there's always like that storyline of, the love triangle, right? Well, it wasn't until the reunion that we found out that me, Clifton, and the other female were the love triangle.
Oh God.
And I'm like, good
Oh.
edit. I'm like, good edit, because this didn't happen. None of this happened. How this story played out, that wasn't our experience. And there's no one else on the show that can vouch that. You get what I'm saying? There's no one who can say, oh yeah, Clifton was torn between two women. No,
Right.
we were locked in very early on. So it was unfortunate that it was edited that way. But I mean, yeah, I cussed her out. I did. I'm not gonna lie. I
Listen,
cussed her out, but I cussed her out because she was lying. And
gotta
she
clear
didn't
people
have to lie.
sometimes. Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. Sometimes you gotta, clear people because
Yeah.
you're doing the most, saying the most. And then, of course, once they realize everything is happening, they're not gonna stop. They gotta keep going. So you gotta let
Well,
them
the truth be,
know.
listen, truth be
Gotta stop.
told, she never even had to. I mean, she was talking about she was in a new relationship, she's basking in the ambiance of this new love. And I'm thinking, like, okay, great. No, honey, she went right along with that lie. And I'm like, okay,
Okay. Yeah, like enough
I
is enough. Enough is
can't.
enough. Okay. We're done
So,
with
I've
this part.
taken.
We're done.
Yeah, so I've gotten that backlash, for a couple years because of the reunion, but it's fine because I know the truth and people who were there know the truth, and we all know that the love triangle never happened. So
Right. But now you've gone from there. You've closed that chapter out. I'm sure people are still going to ask about it, but you've closed that chapter out. But now you're on Love and Marriage DC,
yes.
which is
Oh.
a wonderful spinoff on OWN. And a lot of us, myself included, have watched this situation just unfold. And how was it now after you dealt with this first situation? Now, how was it, or how easier was it hard for you to decide, for you and your husband to decide to now go on from one show to this show?
Yeah,
Knowing what you
it
know, like knowing what you know
was.
about
Well, this is the
how it all
thing. Well, this is the thing. You always have to. We're a team, so we ask each other, like, do you really want to do this? Do you really want to do this? You know what I mean? We know the chances. Like when you sign a contract, you sign a contract in perpetuity, meaning like they're gonna edit. They have the ability to edit, switch, change this, that, and you're literally saying like, yes, I can do that.
right.
I'm giving you permission to do so. Well, we decided to do it.
Okay.
One, because we're like, this is an opportunity for people to, if you loved us on, Ready to Love, you guys will get to see like our growth and what we go through and experience. The beauty about Love and Marriage DC is Love and Marriage DC is not edited. The narratives are the narratives. They may not show every event that you go to. They may not show, of course, the 3 hours that you shot it. But the narrative is the narrative, and I think they've done a pretty good job in kind of keeping that cohesiveness. Ready to Love is edited for television. Ready to Love is probably the realest you're gonna get
Right.
without it being Love and Hip Hop. You know what I mean? So,
Right. Because God knows there's that extreme as well.
right.
I'm married myself, and so what when you went into the second show, which is the Love and Marriage DC, like did you guys make sure early on that you made sure that you guys stayed that strong team? Because again, you don't want the whole, everybody talks about the whole, going into the industry, doing these shows, it like puts a wedge in people's marriages and tears them apart. And they always say that. I don't care what show it is. I've seen from different ones, even the ones on OWN. And so some people say that. And what was your idea, your conversation with the two of you just to make sure you guys are on the same page going in?
Well, that was the conversation, making sure that we are on the same page, having a conversation about all of the conversations.
No, that's right.
and again, still being being authentic to who we are. But that's the one thing, still trying to be true to who we are. And the other thing is that, you know, we represent, you know, people and organizations that are bigger than ourselves. So,
right.
you know, we want to be real, but at the end of the day, you know, Clifton has contracts, you know, he's not about to lose his job over this. Yeah,
right.
You know what I mean? You know, I represent other things in which, you know, I'm part of a sorority. I'm part of like so many other things. And, you know, I can only act but so much of a fool.
No, that's right. You like, I'm only going to so far. You're not about to catch me off guard in these streets.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I love that. So let's talk about your music. Just about what about your music that you resonate with the most that you want other people to pick up when they're listening to you? Obviously, people pick up what they want to when you're listening to different things, but what is it when you go in to do your music? What is it that you want people to come away with that when they listen to you?
The biggest thing is hoping that I always cut you in the best place, meaning that taking you back to a memory, you know, having you think about your first love or a great time that you had with a family member. Like, I just always want to make people just feel good, period. I know what music does for me. It is my therapy, it's my happy place. And on the stage, that is the part that is the biggest for me. I hate recording. That's just, I'll
really?
Be honest. Oh my gosh, I can't stand recording. I love being on stage. I love to perform. And that is where I'm able to really command the room, set the tone, and, you know, get up close and personal. You know, any show with me is that. I'm a curse. I do. You know, I'm real and uncut, but it's all with love. It's all in good fun. You know, I do, like, I'm a multi-genre artist. I say that because
yes.
A lot of times I do a lot of covers, but it is across the gamut. I was kind of cracking up because I was like, oh, they put me in R&B and this. I was like, oh, I do kind of a little bit of R&B.
Right. But you're also like Black rock music. There's like a lot of music.
Yes.
So it's not just keeping me in an R&B bubble, which is interesting enough because we also know that Beyonce did her rendition of what, you know, country music is for her, or country music elements. And a lot of people had some, you know, a lot of people that, you know, had a lot to say.
I mean, we could say a lot of things about Beyonce's new album. I'm going to pass on it, but
and that's fine. But my thought process with that is that, what do you think about people telling people like, okay, this is what you are, when reality of it is like, that's not something I want to necessarily be. I want to be wherever it is that my music is. Whatever my music is, I want it to be in different genres. I don't want you to box me in, because how do you feel?
Well, listen. Well, I mean, that's always the issue for any creative. We have to think back of like how this entire country was started. You know, division, separation, saying you're less than, you can't. Even though we are the backbone, we are the crust of it all. There would be no music the way music is if it was not for Black people. You know, we are the heartbeat to it all. So it's unfortunate that, you know, as times have changed and, you know, rock music is so white dominant. Like now R&B, it is more white artists. There are R&B writers who are writing for pop artists and country artists now. Like it's such a crossover, you know, and the division is, it's unfortunate, but the great thing about it is we all have the freedom to do and create what it is we want and express ourselves the way that we want to. I think for those of us who are like diehard music fans, just in general, we just love seeing and hearing those artists who are just authentically them. And whatever that is, we love it.
I love that. What are some of the go-tos? Like, what's your preparation before you get on stage? Like, everybody has like what they do, like certain things that they do when before they hit the stage. What are some of your preps?
I honestly don't really have anything that I would say, like most vocalists say, oh yeah, I do warm-ups and this, I meditate and I listen to a certain song. I honestly, I kind of like pep my musicians up. Like, you know, we really just chop it up and, you know, crack up, and, you know, I want everybody to be in good spirits. Most of the guys that play for me have been playing with me for a very, very long time. So it's not like I have to say, come on, guys, let's kill it, even though I do say that. And they're like, come on now, you know how we're going
We
to do,
got this,
but
right?
yeah, but it is, just making sure that we're just truly just locked in as artists. And because everyone that's on that stage as well is an artist outside of playing for someone else. So yeah, really it's just making sure that we're all just in great spirits.
If I asked you, give me three top artists that you absolutely love,
Why
like
do people
your
do
go-to.
that? Why y'all do
I
that?
have
Why
to.
y'all do
Because I
that?
have to know. I have to know. It's like, I don't know. I feel like as a music, like I just want to know, like, what are the who are your three top, like, and you can have, I mean, obviously you have more people that you go to as your go-to, but like if you had to give three, what would those three be?
Can we do genres?
Genres. Let's do genres. I'm okay with genres. Let's do genres.
Oh,
She's like, I'm not
man.
about to sit out here and name somebody. They come for me. Okay.
Because you know what? Because it is so difficult to say, but I am such an 80s baby, which is why I love so many different genres. That new wave sound was something that I truly, truly enjoyed. And then I love disco. I love everything disco. I wanted to be a child of the 70s. I wanted to be a Studio 54. I wanted to be in that time of like pure expression and freedom and and not just in music, but in lifestyle, but in art, but in, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then I would definitely have to say 80s rock. The hair bands are my
Oh
I
my
love
God,
a
you done
good
took it
ballad.
back.
Yes, I love a good ballad, like I want to know all of this. Like that is just like, you can hear that soul because that was the thing. Soul music was in everything. It didn't have to quote unquote be defined as soul,
Right.
like what they call it, like Hall and Oates was soul.
Right.
The Doobie Brothers was soul. Like this stuff, so that the when we sit here and keep separating people from stuff. It's like that's why it's so difficult for me, especially growing up in the 80s. So,
I'm an 80s baby, so I know. What do you do? Like, I know you have so much going on. You're doing the show April 12th and you probably have a thousand other things on your plate. But what do you do for yourself that helps with your mental health or your self-care?
That's such a good one. So, I have gotten back into the gym. And I work out with my trainer twice a week, and then I work out the other 2 days out of the week, well, 3 days out of the week. And that has really, really, really just helped my breath. And I mean that in multiple ways. It's helped me into calming myself, relaxing. It's helped me in my endurance and performing. It's helped me in sleeping better. It's helped me more in getting a lot of clarity in what is the next step. And then with it, it's helping me in how I love seeing myself now. You know what I mean? Physically. So it really is kind of, it's helping me like kind of, 360 degrees. And I'm very grateful for it. So even though it's like there's moments of pain, and yes, my trainer is killing us, because we do like groups, he kills us softly, but I know why I'm there. And, hard work is hard work, no pain, no gain.
Very true. Very true. Are you, when it comes to your mental health, are you vocal about that? I mean, do you bring that into conversation? How do you help yourself or others that may be going through it as well, like when they're talking about experiences that may be overwhelming for them?
Well, one thing I can say, I've been very grateful to have an amazing, amazing support system. The friends that I have, I've been able to be so upfront and thing for me was making sure that I was doing what I should be doing, walking in my purpose. And I was talking to one of my best friends, her birthday is today. And that has been the conversation we've been having like the last like 4 months, because it's like, girl, you about to turn 44. Like, what are you doing? What's the next step?
Right.
And she's like, I don't know. And I said, I need you to start digging deep within yourself and figuring out what your purpose is, because I know it is not what you're doing, because I know this isn't what you want to do. And I need you to figure that out. I don't care if it takes you to your 50, girl, but you're going to need to figure it out.
Yes, we have the best friend that can speak, let you know, like, we know you got, there's more in there. Let's bring it to the surface. I love
yes,
that.
Yes, exactly.
So before I let you go, what are some of the wonderful things that people can expect at the April 12th show, which again, let me plug, is April 12th. It is at City Winery. Tickets are available. I want you to get the tickets. I want you to come to the show, and I want you to just come out and dance and sing and do all the things. But what can they expect?
Oh my gosh. My thing is, have the type of expectations like anything could happen. Do not think that this is going to be the typical show. This is not, oh, we just get up here and we sing some songs that y'all know. No, I'm probably going to sing some songs you don't know, but you're going to like it.
Right.
Matter of fact, you're going to love it. You know, it's you know, my interpretation, you know, we really do have fun. And I say we, because even though I'm on the stage, I'm not alone. I can't do this by myself. And I include everyone. You're going to hear me say, you know, this is not a spectator sport.
Right.
Like, you are going to have to participate. You know, first off, you pay good money. You pay good money to come out, and I'm not going to let you waste it. I'm not going to let you waste a dollar.
appreciate it. All of us appreciate that. I love
it's
that.
A good time.
So again, I can't stress enough for those who are listening, especially those who are in the Philadelphia area, or you will be visiting in the Philadelphia area on April 12th. Get a ticket, come out to the show. There's parking right across the street. There's plenty of food and drinks. Joy will be there. The musicians will be there. It will be a time. So make sure that you come and just, you know, bring your everything. Like Joy's going to bring her everything. You bring your everything and come and have
it. And there will also be some more people from Love and Marriage there. So just putting that out there too. So pictures and all that good stuff. Oh yeah. It's a family affair.
Oh, love to hear that. Okay. So there you've heard it first. So there you go. You got, if you follow the show, come on through. So you can chat it up a little bit, you know, take a couple of pictures and things, which we do love. Cause a lot of times when people come to Philly, they don't want to do the whole little picture thing. They kind of want to sing and kind of dip. So we appreciate.
No.
Love.
Definitely want to take the time to appreciate everyone for coming out.
Awesome.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, Joy, thank you so much for just taking your time out to just chat with us. I absolutely, absolutely cannot wait. Again, for those who are listening, I'm going to keep plugging it until y'all get sick of me saying it, but until you buy your ticket, get to the show April 12th.
Get your ticket.
Get your tickets. Don't come to me and say, oh, girl, I should have. Yeah, don't say nothing to me, because I've already done my job. So make sure you get your tickets.
That's April. Right.
thank you so much.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.